This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from our studios here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, our new studio where we've moved from Algiers to Baton Rouge and have our studio set up here in my home, and on account of the Hurricane Katrina and Miss Rita, and we're going on day by day. The Lord is moving, getting things together for our new building here in Baton Rouge. We're going to do one of these days, and many of you, if you're interested, write me or let me know. I'll let you know what's going on. I've tried to put out a newsletter, and if you get the magazine, you'll see there much articles about the new work that we're going to begin here, and the Lord is supplying the needs, supplying the money, supplying the strength. And what a job it is to move a bunch of stuff out of New Orleans. There's stuff been collecting there for 45, 50 years, and some of it we got to move, some of it we got to throw away. So I tell folks, the only way you can clean up is to clear out. So we're doing that in a sense of the word. But this is the old Trailblazer broadcast. Pastor Albert Pendarvis been coming here now quite a while, bringing you God's message, thus saith the Lord. And we're bringing this study on Revelation. I hope you're enjoying it, appreciating. I wish you'd write me and let me hear from you. Let me give you my email address. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. And then our website is just radiomissions.org. If you'd go there on our website, pull up our homepage and look there what goes on here. And then if you click on live streaming, you'll see that we're broadcasting our Sunday services, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, every Sunday on the Internet. And then Sunday night at 6:30, we bring God's message at the chapel here, and it's on the Internet live. And then on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, same thing. It's our Wednesday night, regular Wednesday night services, just like we had in Algiers, just like we had at the Tabernacle. And we're working on other things to do, and we're getting out the message, we're printing the messages, and sending them out. So you pray for us. Would you do that? We need your prayers. We need your support. We need to know that you're standing with us and standing behind us. And then I ask folks, if you have folks on the sick bed that you'd like for us to put on our prayer list, we do that. We have prayer services here. Oftentimes, every Saturday afternoon, our group of men get together and the ladies get together. And then we have prayer service on Sunday night. And we call those names. You write me and tell me your grandma's got terminal cancer or something. We call her name, call it out to the Lord. And we'd be glad to do that. And then we ask you to pray for us. As we come together, we ask you to pray for us for the financial needs, for the spiritual needs, for the strength to go on day by day. The old Trailblazer gets awful weary these days. Many of you know I'm already 76 years old, and a lot of stress and a lot of strain with the hurricane. It seems like you can't get over those things. But there's a lot of responsibility. So the Lord's given us strength to go on day by day. But you just ask the Lord for us if you do that. I appreciate it. We want to get back to our study. We were looking at basically the war in heaven, but we had taken time out to look at the, first of all, Michael the archangel, God's man, God's angel. And then we came to look at the old dragon, the commander-in-chief of the opposite forces. There's always two forces in a battle, and we have two forces here in this battle. And we were looking at the old Satan, the old dragon called Satan. And Satan, as we were telling you, means adversary. He's our adversary. And it's summed up in these words: he deceiveth the whole world. 1 John 5:19, we are told, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or in the lap of the evil one. Then we are commanded in Galatians 6:7, to be not deceived. Here's a picture of the whole world of mankind, unredeemed by the blood of Christ, lying asleep in the lap of Satan, the old deceiver, being deceived, being allured into a state of death, out of which only the power of God by the Holy Spirit can awaken that sinner. And there we came there last time, and we're going to stop and take just a moment to look at that awakened sinner. You don't hear that term much, do you? Oh, I have folks write to me, say, Pastor, I'm 89 years old, 93 years old, and I haven't heard the kind of preaching that you folks do since I was a lad, since I was a little girl in Sunday school back there in the old country church. The preacher talked about being awakened to your lost condition. The preacher talking about being convinced of sin and convicted of sin. And I haven't heard that. And we've gotten away from that. Well, that's because our folks have been deceived. Over about 100 years ago, if you go back and study the church history, about 100 and so years ago, things begin to be watered down. My grandmother, I never did know her. She passed away before I was born. But they told me that she was an old shouting Methodist. And the Methodists used to do that. And but they stuck with, thus saith the Lord. They had the old circuit riders that rode around. They had maybe five or six churches, and the preacher would go to three on one Sunday and three on the next, preach three churches, three different churches. But we don't have that now. If our pastors don't have a $10 million airplane and a long luxury bus and a condo in the mountains and all of those things, well, they just won't take that job. And I had a friend of mine whose pastor had died, been there a long, long time. And I saw him at a funeral one day, and I said, "Brother, have y'all got you a new pastor yet?" He said, "No, we had a man came from North Carolina to look us over and interview. And he said, we offered him X dollars a month to take the parsonage over and to run the church." He said, "I can't take that. I make more than that where I am now. I'll just stay where I am." Well, my friend, he's no friend of a sinner. A man that judges his preaching. Oh, listen, what if John Bunyan, what if Warfield, what if Whitfield would have said, "Well, I can't preach, y'all don't pay me enough money." My friend, that's the last thing a preacher ought to be studied about. Surely we have to keep them. Surely we have to supply the needs for our pastors. And I think that's so. And they said, Brother Spurgeon said the new preacher was looking at a church and said one of the deacon boards was praying about it, and he said, "Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor." Now, my friend, that's kind of the attitude in a lot of places. But we get back to our study. We looked at those descriptions of old Satan, and I wish we could get our eyes open to see that we're not dealing with some little tin soldier. No, we're dealing with Satan, our old adversary, the archenemy of Christ, of the Jews and of the gospel and of the church and of you and me. Do you see how useless and fruitless it would be for us preachers to go forth in our own strength in combat with this great personality? We can't do it, my friend. His headquarters are in the heavenlies, in whose lap the world lies asleep. He has the world blinded spiritually to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Christ told his disciples when he left them on Mount Olivet to go back to Jerusalem and tarry until they were endued with power from on high, according to Luke 24:46. Then they should be witnesses, beginning at Jerusalem. Brethren, there is no tarrying today. We are being in too big a hurry to get our report back to the denominational headquarters. We're in too big a hurry to get the numbers back there so folks can see what we're doing. Many are, my friend. We don't do that here. We're in too big a hurry to get folks on a decision for Jesus. But listen, there needs to be a tarrying when God with God until the power falls, until the Holy Spirit moves the hearts of men and women, until he falls in mighty convicting power, and then Satan is a midget in his hand. I tell folks here, we're looking at building a new facility. I said, we don't need a Taj Mahal. We don't need all those things. What we need is the Holy Spirit. Surely we need a place to worship. Our folks can come together. That's nothing wrong with that. But we need the Holy Spirit far more than we need a new building. Now, let's look. So much that we call evangelism today is just religious froth. Just like the foam on a root beer when you pour it in a glass. It'll foam up, never reaching the hearts of men and women, just sugarcoating the hearts of men and women and leaving them till in the grip of Satan, just glossed over with a little religious veneer, but the same character. And we call that conversion today. Now you tell the poor, blinded, deceived creature that he saved. What a monstrosity in the sight of God. I always look back at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you a new creature? The old trailblazer is oftentimes blunt in his messages, and folks turn me off and criticize me and call me old foggy-eyed fool. And that don't bother me. No, it doesn't bother me a bit. But I just have to ask you, time and time again, are you saved? Are you a church member that's on the road to hell, deceived by Satan? Are you? Are you just a social Christian? Are you just have a high ooping time when they all have some kind of party, a cantata, or pastor calls off the service on Sunday night and everybody stays and watches the Super Bowl? My friend, is that what you are? The old trailblazers are attempting to be true to your soul. You know, I get nothing I get nothing out of compromising God's word. I wouldn't get anything, no satisfaction of knowing that I've been true to your soul. But when I come here with "Thus saith the Lord, the soul that sinneth it shall die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment." Do you ever think of the judgment, my friend? You may be on your dying bed. Do you ever think about the judgment? Do you know as long as there's breath in your body, there's hope to be saved? There is. You say, "Well, I'll just take my chances and get on the deathbed." No, you may not get on the deathbed. You need to turn to Christ now. You need to turn to the Lord now. You need to get honest. Oh, let's stop right there. You need to get honest with the Lord. Have you ever been honest with the Lord? Have you ever been honest with yourself? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, "Am I saved? Am I saved? How did the Lord save me? Where did the Lord save me? Was there a change in my life? Or when I walk in the front door, do the cats and the dogs and all go out the back door and the children go out the other door because I'm a mean old hell on wheels? Is that you, my friend? Or you, my dear lady, you have a new heart? You have a new heart?" I'll just tell you this little incident right quickly. The pastor told this story about this woman in this little town. She was hell on wheels. I mean, she was meaner than the snake. Kids run out the back door, and the dogs and the cats all scattered when she came in. But the Lord got a hold to her and opened her heart and saved her. And man, everybody said, "Now we're going to see. Now we're going to see." And she was rejoicing in the Lord. And every so often that old Satan would tempt her and come up on her. And she'd get up from the dinner table and flee to her room and close the door, get in the closet and say, "Lord, don't let me. Don't let me there. Don't leave me there. Don't let me go back. Don't let me go." You say, "Well, does a Christian do that?" Certainly. Certainly he does. That's right. And that's a true sign of being a Christian, is asking the Lord to forgive you and take away those old lustful desires and take away those things. They're going to happen. They're going to appear. But, my friend, you don't have to cave into them. This lady didn't cave into them. No, she had a new hitching post. I'll tell you that little story maybe in our next study about old Joe coming to town. Maybe I have time for it now. This old rancher out there in the west somewhere stayed at the saloon every Saturday, got drunk. Somebody put him on his old horse, and the old horse was going out to the ranch. So the Lord got a hold of old Joe and saved him. And the other guys, their drinking buddies, they stand over across the street, and they say, "Well, we're going to watch it Saturday morning. Old Joe will come in." Well, here come old Joe. Passed up the saloon, went on down to the grocery store, got his little bag of groceries, tied him on his saddle horn, and went on back out of town. Don't you know that was a great testimony? Them three or four drunk heads, old beer heads, or whatever they were, standing over there in the alley waiting for old Joe. But Joe done found him a new hitching post. You know, every sinner, whoever gets saved, finds him a new hitching post. He does. You don't haunt them same old places. You don't read the same filthy book. You don't watch the same filthy programs on TV and lap that stuff up and go rent them old movies with them four-letter words in it and let your children hear all that trash. You don't do that. If you do, you're not saved. Oh, Trailblazer, you say, "Yes, sir. I'm telling you right now." Can't you tell a dead dog from a live one? You drive down the interstate and there's a dog laying on the side swelled up big enough to bust. You know he's dead. That's right. He's a dead dog. But you can tell a dead one from a live one, can't you? A live one's got life in him. He'll chase you and bite you. But, my friend, are you a live dog or a dead dog? Oh, don't call me no dog. What about sinner? Are you a saved sinner or a lost sinner? Every man outside of Christ is a lost sinner. And every man in Christ is a saved sinner. Sinner is our name by nature. That's where we get our name, sinner. But listen, it's no disgrace to be a lost sinner. That way you can be saved. Would you call on the Lord to save you? Would you do that? Would you say, "Pastor, the Lord, the old trailblazer said I'd be saved if I'd call on you"? Give me a new heart. Give me that new spirit. Remember my mailing address? The old trailblazer, post office box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.